afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Faith on Fitness. My name is Faith Ritter, and I'm the Communications Director for Benefit Personal Training, an in-home personal fitness training company dedicated to helping mature clients maintain their health, strength, and independence today and over the course of their entire lives. And I'm honored to be here with Beverly Davis, who is a health and wellness coach and natural health professional. Welcome, 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 Beverly.
Oh, thank you so much, Faith. It's such a pleasure to be with you today.
No. The pleasure's all mine. So, listen, we're going to be talking about menopause today.
Yes.
And that word elicits some pretty negative emotions for a lot of women, but today we're putting a positive spin on menopause, right?
Yes, we are.
Yes, so we want our listeners to know that they can be strong, they can be healthy, and guess what? They can actually lose weight despite the challenges that menopause poses. So here's the stat. Let's start with the stat that I wanted to share with you. Okay. Experts say that an average of 27 million women between the ages of 45 and 64 experience menopause each year. So, Beverly, that's a lot of hot flashing across the country.
That's a lot going on.
So this topic is of particular importance to me because I'm one of the 27 million. And while I certainly feel young at heart, with each passing year, it's becoming more and more evident that my body's changing. To some extent, I feel like I'm the same person, but in a slightly different body. So I have to get reacclimated, if you will, with my young body. But we're not here to have a pity party, right, Beverly?
That's right.
That's not why we're here. That is not why we are here. You know, we want our listeners to know that while menopause poses some challenges, there is hope. So, Beverly, give us some hope today.
Okay, Faith, the good news is, and the hope is, changing our diet and lifestyle can make such a difference in our health, especially during these years.
Awesome. So menopause, what I think you're saying is menopause does not have to be a hindrance or stumbling block.
It doesn't have to be a hindrance of why we can't have a fulfilling life.
Awesome. So let's just dive right in, Beverly, and talk about all these hormonal changes that are going on, right? So we know estrogen levels are dropping. Progesterone levels are dropping. Metabolism is depressed. And the list goes on and on. Some women experience excessive fatigue, hot flashes, mood swings. Some women have a depressed libido. But, of course, the universal, probably most frustrating aspect of menopause for a lot of women is the weight gain, right?
Yes.
The weight gain. So we know that there are some hormonal medical interventions, hormone replacement therapies and like that women can explore. But for women who really want to try a holistic natural approach, what are some good natural interventions that women can explore to help boost their metabolism, maintain a healthy weight, and just ensure their overall health and wellness?
Okay. Well, you know, Faith, the emotional, the hormonal, and physical changes can be very challenging, okay? But this is the time that we can take a really good look at our gut and do a gut check.
Great.
Okay? When I say gut check, I'm really talking about the microbiome. Now, the microbiome is a buzzword in the news today. Okay, if you look at any magazine stand, you'll see, the emphasis is on the gut. Okay, science education and evidence-based information is now the buzzword everywhere.
Okay.
In 1990, there was no information at all about gut. Okay, in 2000, very little interest. 2002, they took a better look at it. Then in 2008, the National Institute of Health conducted a study called the Microbiome Project, emphasizing the importance of the digestive system. Okay, because the digestive system is actually the key to health.
Okay.
Okay, so we want to make sure that in our digestive system that we mm-hmm. are creating more of the good bacteria rather than the bad bacteria, because 85% of our intestinal system, okay, should be good bacteria. It's going to enhance absorption. It's going to boost mm-hmm. our metabolism. It's going to strengthen our immune system, lift mood, and offset overeating.
Okay, awesome.
So that's the holistic approach that we can take.
Fantastic. So, and I would imagine ensuring good bacteria in the gut starts with putting good foods into our body. Am I right, Beverly?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
So tell us, give us some good rules of thumb, Beverly, in terms of what kinds of foods we should be eating, and as well as the things that we should be trying to avoid in order to ensure that healthy bacteria in our gut.
Okay. All right. We need to take a look at the habits of health. Okay. We want to develop a habit of health, I should say. Okay. So
okay.
We want to make sure that we're intaking good vitamins and minerals in our body. Okay. When I talk about vitamins and minerals, we're talking about fruits and vegetables pretty much, because that's where you're going to find most of your vitamins and minerals is in fruits and vegetables. With an emphasis on the leafy green vegetables, okay? The leafy green vegetables is going to create that alkaline balance that we need, especially in our intestinal tract, okay?
Right.
So, you know, foods like spinach, kale, collard greens are just so, so crucial. They're going to provide protein, you know, as well as the vitamins and minerals. Then the antioxidants, okay? They're going to also contain that. Antioxidants is actually very, very good for our body, because they're going to help ward off our body from the free radical damage that can bring on different types of diseases. The omega-3 fatty acids is another one that we want to look at. So we want to make sure that we're eating our avocados and fish and, you know, the nuts and seeds, you know, natural diet. We want to emphasize the natural diet. And then the probiotics, you know, the probiotics is really where the gut can really get its nourishment from, the probiotics. So if in the stores today, you can find all kinds of probiotic drinks. You want to make sure that that intestinal system, again, we're talking about the gut, is right on target with that, okay? It's going to make you feel better, and it's going to change so many other things going on inside of your body. Enzymes. There we go with the vegetables again. Okay, salad. Any kind of raw vegetable you eat is going to contain the enzyme. So you want to make sure that you're having ample amount of enzymes going on inside of your body on a daily basis, along with water. We definitely cannot forget about that. Okay, water is crucial. Okay, crucial. So we want to drink water. If we can sip on it throughout the day, that's better.
Yeah.
But we want to replace all of those sugary drinks with water, because water is going to just take care of so many wonderful things going on inside of the body. The body requires a certain amount of water. So depending on our body weight, they say half your body weight in ounces is what we should have. So
That sounds like a lot, Beverly. Half your body weight in ounces?
Half your body weight in ounces, yes. But
Everybody
require different amounts. So what I like to do is say, have a pitcher of water sitting on the table, and then throughout the day, you want to just, you know, drink that water. And by the time the day has ended, you completed that entire pitcher of water. So you know that you saturated your body with the water. And another thing I want to say about the water, Faith, which I think is very important, you'll notice right away the difference in how well you sleep at night when you have ample amount of water in your body. I'm telling you, it will make you feel so good. And then when we exercise, we need to replace the water, because, you know, we're sweating and different things like that. So we want to make sure that we stay hydrated for that. And on these hot days, we need to keep that, you know, our body hydrated. So water is crucial. It's one of the most important nutrients that our body can have. Occasional cleansing and detoxing. I say a good rule of thumb is to say, okay, as the seasons change, I'm going to give my body a periodic cleansing. Okay, they have all kinds of ways that you can cleanse your body. One of the ways that I particularly like is having lemon juice in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
When you get up, you can have it warm, or you could just have it, you know, plain water and lemon in the morning. And that's going to give your liver a good cleansing, because after you slept all night, you know, you want to clean yourself out in the morning. And then eliminating. We cannot forget about how important it is to move things out. And that's why the fruits and vegetables are so important in the diet, because they contain the fiber, and fiber is going to move things out. We want to keep the body moving at all times, and you'll really notice a difference in how you feel, how you sleep. You know, your whole quality of life will change when you make those changes in your diet and lifestyle.
Wonderful. I think you said with respect to eliminating, when we were talking earlier, you should be eliminating at the same frequency at which you're eating, correct? So if you're having three meals a day, you really need to eliminate three meals a day, which most people don't, but that does not negate the fact that we should be eliminating that all. So.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up, because if you have three meals a day, then if you don't eliminate the three meals, where are they? They're still in your body.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we're eating enough fiber, at least 30 grams of fiber in our diet on a daily basis to move things out. You don't want to keep things in your body, because that's how toxins build up. So you want to do the, I failed to mention how yogurt is one of those probiotics that we can have. And, you know, good intestinal bacteria, moving things out, all of those things are going to make a big difference, Faith.
Okay, great. And you mentioned something earlier about replacing the sugary drinks with
water. Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, I want to talk about some of these sugar. It's hard to avoid sugar, right? But we really need to be vigilant about it. It's hidden in so many foods. So teach us how to identify the hidden, the hidden sugars and the code words that manufacturers like to use, like high fructose corn syrup. Educate us about that.
Yes. Well, you know, the manufacturers, they know what we like. They know that we like sugar, and they know that we like salt. So they saturate these foods out here with those type of sweeteners. So high fructose corn syrup, you're going to find that in your juices, most of them. If you see it being the first ingredient, you know that it's going to be more of that than anything else. So reading your food labels and making sure that you're not picking up juice that contains high fructose corn syrup. It's a very cheap sugar that they can use to sweeten things, but it's dangerous for your health. It's a quick way to get, you know, things like diabetes. So you want to definitely, you know, not incorporate them into your daily diet. Now, they're hidden, like you said, Faith, in a lot of things, like, you know, ketchup, you know, things that we don't even think about. There's sugar hidden in certain things. Added sugar is what we don't want. The natural sugar that's found in fruit is going to be our better choice. Okay. Some of the other sweeteners that we can take a look at would be something like honey, agave, okay? And then we have brown rice syrup. And then there's even cane sugar, because cane sugar hasn't been processed like the white sugar. So all your white sugar is going to, you know, be processed, and it's going to cause inflammation in your body. The two main sweeteners that I think are crucial, okay, would be xylitol and stevia. Okay, they're natural sweeteners, and they contain nutrition, and that's what you want your sweetener to contain, is something that has some nutritional value. White sugar has nothing. It's only going to cause inflammation in your body, and then we wonder why we have arthritis. We wonder why we have joint problems. Okay, because sugar is going to pull the calcium, the white sugar is going to pull the calcium out of your bones. And so we don't want that, because we want to keep our bones strong and healthy as long as we can, especially during menopausal years.
Well, you're educating me. I had no idea that sugar pulls calcium from your bones. But see, that's why I have you on the show.
Yes.
To educate.
Yes.
So we won't be looking at sugar the same way anymore. We won't look at sugar the same way anymore.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. We want to keep our body more alkaline and less acidic, and sugar is one of the main culprits to make that happen in the body.
Yes. Awesome. That is so good to know. So listen, we can't even talk about weight management without talking about exercise. So explain to everyone who's listening why exercise, particularly strength training, is so important. You know, women, we tend to love our aerobic conditioning, you know, our Zumba classes, our spinning, our jogging, our Pilates, you know, and that all of that is great. But explain why strength training, which is something, you know, a smaller subset of women tend to do on a consistent basis, why strength training in particular is so important for women as they get older.
Yes. Well, you know, as we get older, Faith, everything slows down and the bones start to get thin, unfortunately. But if they're strong and healthy, okay, then they don't break as easily. So strength training is crucially important, you know, that our body stays strong, you know. You know, like I said, and that's why sugar is so bad, because we don't want to pull the calcium out of the bones. We want to keep it in there. So along with strength training and having your calcium and the mineral magnesium is going to be a plus, you know, in our everyday lives, it's, you know, especially going through menopause. Strength training, we want to, you know, and I know you mentioned yoga is good too, you know, mind-body connection, okay, because everything, you know, everything connects to everything else, okay, so we have to remember how we get to know our body and know that everything, every body system is connected to the other. So, you know, and all of that is going to bring about good health, you know, just overall protection to each body system as much as possible.
Excellent. So, Beverly, we have covered a lot of ground in a very short period of time, which was my goal. So why don't you just recap for us the three or four things that you want all the listeners to take away today?
Okay, yes. The three things, I think the number one thing that we should really, really focus on is gut check. We want to always get to know our body and know when we put something in our body that is not conducive, like sugar, for instance. Yeah. So gut check and making sure that the good bacteria is more than the bad bacteria in our gut, okay? Because remember that all the body systems work together, and we want to make sure that we're taking care of that. Okay. Also, quality sleep. Quality sleep is going to repair. When we sleep at night, everything is going on. The body systems are at work while we're sleeping. So we want to make sure that we get the quality sleep, because it's going to have a reflect on our skin, our bones, our brain. Everything goes on while we're sleeping. So that's so important. And the last part is hydrating, staying hydrated with water. Okay, adding, you know, lemon to the water, adding strawberries to our water. We don't want to just drink it plain. But pure water is the best thing that we can put into our bodies, and daily. We want to do this daily and checking and making sure that we are hydrated throughout the day, checking. You go to the bathroom, making sure that it's not yellow, that it's clear, and you know you're getting enough when you do that. That's an easy way to make sure that you're getting enough. And we cannot forget exercise. Exercise is crucial. We have to keep moving. The body was made to move, okay? And we definitely want to, you know, keep moving, you know, strength training. We want to make sure that we're doing some, even if it's low-pack aerobics, some yoga for stress management. All of those things are important, you know, for our health, and especially during our menopausal years, especially.
Awesome. And a lot of those things we can do indoors, even though we can't get outside and do some of the other things that we may like to do because it's so hot. A lot of those exercises we can do right in the privacy and comfort of our own home. So we have no excuse. Right, Beverly?
Yes. There are Zoom videos now that we can do. Okay, you can go out early in the morning and take a walk, you know, before it gets hot, you know. All of those things. There's still hope and there's still things that we can do. I'm telling you, it will make a difference. You will feel better. You're going to feel healthier and you're going to live longer. And that's our goal, is to be able to live longer and have a healthy, prosperous life.
Yes, because we all want more years to our life, but we also want more life to our
year.
Yes, Beverly. Thank you so much. You are a delight. I certainly learned a lot, as did, I'm hoping, everyone who is listening. Thank you so much for being a guest on Faith on Fitness, and I will be sure to have you back again.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's such a pleasure and such an honor. You know, you're such a great, great interviewer.
Oh, thank you.
I just love the questions
that you ask.
Thank you, too. Yes. So, yes, very happy.
And you are a great subject matter expert, and I believe you told me the other day, if you don't have health, you don't have anything. And to me, that says it all. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.